In this week's Complaint Corner, Han Solo, Hulu, and some other shit. This is Critically Complained. Hi, I'm Adam, and this is Steve, and first we are talking Solo, A Star Wars Story. It is Hooray. Our favorite thing to talk about. Don't we just love it? Oh my god! Okay, first we're going to talk about the news, and then we're going to go off about making fun of Solo, A Star Wars Story. So, John Williams...
objective news outlet here.
Yeah. Hey, man, we're like color commentators, you know? Like, we're not objective, and if you think we are, you're dumb. So John Williams is writing the theme, like the musical theme, for Solo, A Star Wars Story. But just the theme. A different composer by the name of John Powell is writing the rest of it. Now, I don't know much about John Powell's work, but I, like, took a glance at his other stuff. He's like an accomplished, what's the word? I wanted to say cinematographer, that's not it.
Music composer.
He's an accomplished guy. Most of his stuff that I glanced at was nothing that you're gonna be like, oh, he did the music for that one movie. It's just like a bunch of films. You're just like, oh yeah, I like those movies. Like, okay, sure. But John Williams obviously is like a goddamn god when it comes to music, and I am glad that he's doing the theme for Solo, A Star Wars Story. However, before I give too much praise to this, I want to take a second to think about, like, it is 2018 right now. It is January, whatever the hell it is. It's 2018. Solo, A Star Wars Story comes out in May. That is 4 months away. And we still know absolutely nothing about it. We have seen no posters. There has not been any trailers, not even a teaser trailer. We don't even have a plot synopsis. Like, there is nothing.
Obviously, like, they're trying to invoke the sense of movie fandom from the 1970s before the internet existed and you just had to go and see the movie. Obviously, it's intentional.
No, Steve. I mean, I know you're joking, but no. Like I think that Disney or someone at Disney, someone in their giant hierarchy or whatever, knows that this is going to be fucking awful. And they're just trying to just kind of push it out the door so that they can be done with it. You know what I mean?
You think they're going to try to not say anything about it so nobody shows up and no one has to see it?
No, not exactly. I just think that they know it's going to fail anyway. So they're just like, yeah, I guess we'll do a trailer in like a couple weeks or something. Like
When we get around to it.
Like whatever.
Well,
like,
I mean, that's not their usual tactic. Usually when they smell a stinker, the plan is to market the hell out of it. So people are like, oh my God, I forgot that exists. Let's go see that because I have to because commercials have compelled me.
If there's any film that needs like a bunch of promotional material, it's this one. Because like when I talk to like my mom or my dad about it, they don't even know this movie exists. Like,
oh, mine didn't either. I had to tell them that it was happening, and they were like, "What?"
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I know, and I wouldn't even have known about it unless Adam told me about it.
Exactly. Like they've done so little to promote this movie that like the mainstream people who aren't like movie/Star Wars nerds like us don't even know about it. And it's coming out in May, which is the first time a Star Wars movie has come out not in December since they did this whole revived
thing. I feel like they're not
thing.
Compelled to do that because this isn't really a Star Wars movie. I feel like they know that much at least. You know?
Yeah.
They don't feel compelled to do tradition with this one because it's so very much not a Star Wars movie.
I agree. I think that's the main reason. And like they've delayed movies before. They do that all the time. Like actually almost every one of the previous movies was originally going to come out in May and then they delayed it until December, which is kind of weird. But with this one, like, why not delay it to December? I still am confused by that. And I think you're right. I think that the only reason they're not is because they don't want people to associate it with the other Star Wars. This one's a stinker. And they are just like, well, we already invested so much money in this that we have to release it. But let's just release it in, like, May or some shit. Maybe when people go see Infinity War, they'll be like, oh, shit, there's another Star Wars movie out? Shit, fuck, let's watch that, I guess. Why not?
I
think that's the only way this makes any sense to me because they've done so little for this movie. I just, oh my god.
I mean, oh my God. See, that makes sense from, like, a perspective of somebody who is embarrassed by their art, I guess, but from a cold, calculating sort of, you know, money executive point of view, that should never be the case of we need to hide our movie. Despite how stinky it might be, the plan is usually just to trick people into seeing it. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, actually. Like, maybe, yeah, they should be promoting the hell out of it. Like, making you think it's going to be awesome, even if they don't think it's going to be awesome. Like, that doesn't, the quality of the movie isn't important. It's the amount of butts you can get into seats on opening weekend.
Exactly.
Like, that's the only thing that is
important.
Just
the number of people you can get in tents lined up to see it, tricked into thinking that they want to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, basically. I really am scared about this movie. Like, and I've said this a billion times before, but even if this movie turns out to be fucking awful, like, that's not going to ruin my love of Star Wars. Like, this is Star Wars. We've survived worse, probably. I mean, like there was 30 years between episode 6 and episode 7, and in between we got a trio of films that everyone pretty much agrees are all awful. Like, you know, like it's okay. Like, we'll survive this. It's fine, guys. Don't worry so much. But
well, I feel like this one is so just on principle detached from the other ones that even if it was like the worst movie in the history of mankind and ushering in a new age of darkness for movies altogether, I feel like people would be like, but it's not a real Star Wars though, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I just
like okay, it's one of those things where like. If you know like when you're like you're claiming celebrities for your country or whatever, that's a weird example. Which you know I'm talking about?
What? You know? Wait, no, I don't. What?
Oh my God. Okay.
So you know, like, you have your own country and you're just like this.
No.
This celebrity
is
coming
to famous people, and you're trying to identify what country they belong to, hypothetically speaking.
Oh.
You know, like Emma Watson is English, right? But like Harry Potter movies, we call dibs on those. So, like, do we get Emma Watson? Is what I'm saying.
I would love
to have Emma Watson, but that's not the point. Anyway, so what I'm talking about is, like, if something's good, you claim it, you know, you're like, oh, that's mine.
Yeah.
But if something sucks, you say, well, that's not mine. I don't want that.
No,
so, like,
I see
the Han Solo
saying.
Movie is terrible, everyone just goes, like, that's not my Star Wars. But if it's
good,
then everybody's better for it. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. We got Star Wars.
I guess I can see what you're saying to a degree. It's not really the way I view it. Like that's not how I approach anything, like, especially Star Wars. To me, it's like, oh, it's Star Wars, even if it's fucking awful. Like, it's always, it's still Star Wars, but it's okay if it's awful, because that's, like, part of the Star Wars, I don't know,
I don't
brand.
Know if that's the proper attitude.
I don't know.
It sucks, but it's
maybe
okay
not.
Because it's Star Wars?
No, not exact. It's not. I guess I'm saying it wrong. It's not that it's okay because it's Star. I mean that, like, I don't lose hope if, like,
A New Hope.
Okay. I'll give you a slightly of a counter example, like with the DCFU thing that we got going on. You know, like, I'm not hopeful for the future of that universe. Like,
no.
Like it. Nothing has made me happy about it. Like, it's just, oh God, here we go, another one. But with Star Wars, if they make like a bad film, it's just like, oh well, I'm still excited for the next one because I'm sure the next one can be good because, you know, we already have a decent track record. There's 3 great ones, 3 bad ones, 2 good ones, and 1 eh one. That's the spin. You know, that's Rogue One. It's eh. And it's, to me, it's with Star Wars, it's like one bad film does not ruin the whole franchise for me. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, that's
here.
Good, because we've had our ups and downs with Star Wars, and if one bad movie ruined it for you, we wouldn't have any 7th movie.
Exactly.
Or 8th movie.
That's exactly it. Like, it's okay if this one sucks, because Star Wars, like, in the grand sense, it's going to keep trucking along. Like it's not going to end or anything. I'm not worried about the future of Star Wars just because Solo is bad, you know what I'm saying? But like,
maybe
if
bad. Maybe
but
bad.
If like I don't know, if the next DC movie, if Aquaman is fucking terrible and no one goes to go see it, I would be genuinely worried that they're not gonna make any more movies at all, because they're just like, okay, clearly we fucked this up so much that it's over for everybody. Like let's just reboot it and be done. Like,
just pack it up and go home, because I mean, you're right. Yeah. They would just reboot it instead, but they probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
If that were the case.
But
so
like,
here's
Star
hoping Aquaman
Wars
doesn't blow.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, please.
So basically, the point is Star Wars means that Aquaman won't be bad.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that. So our next bit of news is that Animaniacs.
You guys remember Animaniacs, yeah, right?
I bet you haven't heard about that one for a while.
From the Animaniacs, WB kids?
is getting a 2-season revival at Hulu. And that's a bit surprising. I didn't see that
coming.
Yeah,
it's really surprising.
I was like, oh, okay, do people still like that? I guess they do, okay.
I mean we're getting
great,
a new Hey Arnold movie soon, so I guess now is just the time.
I forgot about that.
Me too, I just remembered it.
I understand that now is the time of nostalgia. Like, it's like everything, it's like, hey, let's take something that people used to like, let's give it a fresh
used
coat
to.
Of paint.
Excuse what? You, I'll have you know, Hey Arnold is my jam.
I've never liked Hey Arnold. I'm sorry.
Well, Hey Arnold doesn't really care for you either.
That's true. It's just, I guess my problem with Hey Arnold, just as a quick thing, I didn't like that every character had a different, had different shaped head. It bothered
really, that's
me.
That's what ruined it for you?
When I was a kid, okay?
Not
I,
Helga's
I was a kid,
absolutely insane
and I was
mental
a petty
disorders.
Child. I was a petty child, and it bothered me more than it should have. Like, I was just like, why is Arnold's head shaped like a basketball or a football?
Football,
whatever. Why is the one girl always a bitch to him, and why does she have a unibrow? Why?
She's not always a bitch to him. She's covering up her deep, like, deeply laden issues.
Yeah, no shit. Why does she have a creepy ass shrine to him?
Because like... she's insane, Adam.
I don't know. It just
and Arnold makes
never...
her womanhood quiver.
It never worked for me at all. Like, I just never cared about Hey Arnold. But that's beside. We're talking about Animaniacs, okay?
Yeah, I remember Animaniacs like existing, and I remember seeing it, but I don't remember a thing about it.
See, like, the only thing I remember about it is because I see it get posted every once in a while, where it's like,
something about fisting prints.
Yeah, it was, like, we need fingerprints. And it's just like, I found prints, and he's like, no, fingerprints. And she's like, I don't wanna. And it's a joke. It's a
yes,
joke.
Yes, it is.
She's holding a guy. It's a pun, and it's funny. And I see it online sometimes, and I'm like, and I give like a not a laugh, but you know when you blow air out your nose, you blow air out your nose slightly mm-hmm. faster, like, like that's about it for me. Like, and that's all I know about Animaniacs. I watched it when I was a kid, but I was so young at that time that I don't fucking remember anything about it other than oh, pretty colors.
Their names are Yakko, Wekko, and Dot. They live in the water
tower.
Know
that. I couldn't even tell you that. I remember that they looked kind of sort of like Mickey Mouse, like Mickey Mouse's like creepy cousins.
They kind of looked more like Oswald the Rabbit, but yeah, same sort of thing.
They looked like the awkward like extended family members that Mickey Mouse like goes to family gatherings and he's like, oh God, here they are again. Fuck.
Actually, what animals were they?
I don't know.
I thought they were dogs. I'm not actually sure.
I don't know. Probably dogs.
I think Wacko had dog ears underneath his hat that stuck out, and I don't remember if the other ones did. Because one of them had pants, one of them had a shirt and a hat, and one of them was a girl. That's their costume.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that now. Anyway, but I liked Animaniacs when I was younger. I don't, like I said, I don't remember much about it, but I liked it. And I'm perfectly fine with them making, like, more. Like, I don't mind them making a new season. I don't feel it's necessary.
It doesn't
but...
really bother me that they're doing it. I think it's kind of ballsy to go for 2 seasons right away.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. Also, I've recently discovered that I actually really like Hulu. I'm going to talk more about this later, but I've really gotten into Hulu recently. I just watched. I'll talk about that later. But Hulu, thumbs up. I like it.
Okay.
And Animaniacs is I think why not?
Now why my not with question Animaniacs? Is: do they sure. still live in the Warner Brothers water tower? Because it's not Warner Brothers anymore.
That's a great question. I
so
don't
do they
know
live in the Hulu
that.
Water tower? Or are they going to just cleverly not
tower.
Have them in a water tower?
It's the Disney water tower.
The Disney water tower.
It's. I'm pretty sure that Disney now has like a majority stake in Hulu since they bought Fox. I think they have like 40% now, which is more than anyone else has. Mm. So I think I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know what I don't know what they're gonna do with this new season. New seasons. But I'm not complaining about it. Like it's just like, all right, you know what? give it a shot. Why not? You know, it couldn't be bad. Well, it could be bad, but who gives a shit? It's just Animaniacs. Whatever.
Like, I don't think the world would be any poorer for it if the Animaniacs sucks.
I don't feel strongly enough about Animaniacs in any direction for me to think of this as a bad thing. It's just like, why not? You know, like, it's like, hey, you
go
do
for
you.
It.
May, why? Yeah, give it a shot. Speaking of Hulu and shows on Hulu, Runaways has just been renewed for a second season. And I'm very excited about that because I recently watched Runaways. And I'm going to talk more about that in my humble opinion at the end here. But the very short version is, please give me more seasons. I would like more seasons. And I'm very happy that it got a second season. So, yes, please. I would prefer it if they would renew it for, like three seasons, just so that I could, like, know that they're going to finish the story. But you know what? Fine. Let's just take this a season at a time. That's okay. Sure. Why not? Anyway.
I mean,
do you even know anything about Runaways? Like,
no.
Have you ever? Okay.
Not a clue.
Basically, the premise of the show, if I were to try to, like, pitch it to you, is a group of teenagers who some of which have superpowers, but they are just discovering these superpowers. Like, it's, like, kind of like a coming-of-age puberty type thing. Anyway, so
nothing
a group
speaks
of,
to the audience like puberty. Go on.
Yeah. A group of teenagers who are all going through puberty, and some of which have superpowers, discover that their parents are evil, and their parents may or may not be supervillains. Some of them are, some of them aren't. Some of them have powers.
Some are just regular evil, and some of them are actual supervillain evil.
But they're all evil, and they've been murdering one kid every year for the past 15 years.
What, like
and,
as a group?
Yeah, as a group, it's a group thing. Like they all put on their red robes, and then they put this kid, like it's always like this teenager. They put inside this pod thing, and then the pod closes, and then it's like a bunch of lights and shit, and then the pod opens again, and the kid is gone.
What? That's lame.
Yeah,
kill him the cool way. Put him on an altar and stab him in the heart with a dagger to sacrifice to Cthulhu.
Well, okay, the pod has a purpose. They're like the kids learn more about this later, and I don't want to spoil it for you in case you ever try to watch it because it is really good. But the pod has a purpose. They're putting him in the pod not just because they like murdering kids, but because they need to put someone in the pod every year, and it can't be them.
This kind of reminds me of Cabin in the Woods, where there was like a whole little government organization set up to appease these mystery god things by sacrificing children.
It's a little bit similar to that, actually, in some ways. But it's really interesting. It's a great show, and I'll talk more about it later. But that's the premise, is kids with superpowers find out that their parents are evil, and what do they do with this information? And that's the hook, if you will.
Do the parents have superpowers?
Two of them do.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, otherwise I think the answer is kick their ass, but...
Well, that's kind of the thing is, like, I don't know, like, this was based off of a Marvel comic that has a really strong cult following, and I've never read the comic, so for me, the show is my only experience to this, and I don't know if the parents are supposed to have powers, but really, like... I'm pretty sure that only two of them have powers, and one of them you don't even find out that he is a parent until like halfway through the season. So it's like, it's complicated.
Okay,
I can explain.
Good.
Yeah, but is good, and I'm glad they're getting a second season.
All right.
Yeah. So our next bit of news is that anime. I'm saying
this
all wrong.
What's anime?
Anime.
These days?
Amazon has shut down their Anime Strike service. So for those of you who don't know, including me, I didn't know about this until I read this. So obviously there's Amazon Prime, and when you are an Amazon Prime member, you get access to a bunch of shows that you can just watch for free because you're an Amazon Prime member. But on top of that, you could pay an extra like $5 a month to be an Anime Strike member. And Anime Strike allows you access to a bunch of anime that they've, like, bought the rights to. But they, you know, have it locked behind this second paywall. And a lot of people were pissed about that. A lot of people are like, I'm already an anime, or, God, I keep saying it wrong, an Amazon Prime member. Like, I don't really want to pay extra just so I can watch anime. Like, that's fucking bullshit. And apparently the anime strike thing wasn't doing too well, because now Amazon has shut it down completely, and all of the stuff that was on Anime Strike is now just available for all Prime members. And all I can say is, hell yes, good. Fuck you, people. I'm just...
Whoa.
I'm really tired of too many streaming services. And the idea of having a streaming service that has additional streaming services, like, inside it. Like, it's like DLC for a video game. It's like pay to win, but not pay to win. But it's that's what it feels like to me. It feels like DLC. It's just like, oh yeah, I already bought your product, and now you want me to pay additional money so I can get, like, you know, this other stuff that I should already have. You know what I mean? Like, I'm already giving you a monthly subscription fee. I don't really want to give you a second monthly subscription fee. That just feels like bullshit to me. And clearly other people agree with me, and that's why they shut it all down. And the fact that they shut it all down means that they could have shut it down all along. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't have to have it be separate, but they did because they were trying to wring as much money as possible, but it wasn't working. So then they're just like, ah, screw it. Fuck it. I am happy that this happened, that they got rid of it, and I hope that no one, Amazon or any other place, tries to pull this kind of crap again. I don't like it. I don't like
the
idea.
Well, this is good news for me, because I have Amazon Prime and I wasn't using it for anything, but I guess now I have animes to watch.
Well,
so that's good, I guess.
Good. I have Amazon Prime too. That's how I watched all of Doctor Who last year. They have the whole revival series all on there. Actually, speaking of which, if I want to watch Classic Who, which I do want to do, but I haven't done yet, I have to pay an additional, like, $5 a month in order to get BritBox, which gives me access to a bunch of different British television shows, and I don't want to do it.
Are there that many of them that are worth?
Surprisingly, well, I mean, Doctor Who is the one I care about, but there are quite a few that a lot of people do care about. I wish I could name them off, but I don't know what they are. I can
probably name you like five British shows, and most of them probably aren't even on anymore.
Yeah, I let me think if I could name British shows. Doctor Who,
The Office,
Broadchurch, The Office. What's it called? Orphan Black.
That's a British show? Okay.
It's a British show, yep.
Top Gear.
Top Gear, there we go. Yeah, five, we did
it. We did it.
Yes. But anyway, so, I mean, yeah, what do you think about this whole anime thing? Now you have more anime that you could watch.
I mean, that's good for me, man. I'm cool with that. Because I'm a fan of Crunchyroll. Hashtag not sponsored by Crunchyroll, but open to it.
Oh, please.
Yeah, but I hate reading because I don't see good, and reading the bottom inch of a screen really takes away from the experience when the boobies are on. I mean, the complicated plots are happening.
Yeah.
So, I mean, being able to, what I imagine is probably dubbed, is cool. I would probably pay for Funimation if I was willing to pay for anything. So,
I don't get
this
you,
is good.
Dude. I don't understand why you're so frugal. Like you're so frugal, it like hurts me. Like, to me, it's like, if I want something, I'm gonna buy it. Like I have money, I can buy it.
But I'm not buying it. I'm renting it. Continuously.
God.
I'm continuously renting it.
Okay. Fair enough.
There's a method to my madness, Adam. Just, you know, you just have to be me to understand.
I guess that's true. I'd have to be you to understand you. That makes sense. I follow.
Put that on a fortune cookie.
Okay, so our next bit of news is that our only bit of video game news of the day is that Nintendo is aiming to sell 20 million more Nintendo Switches.
More.
Next year.
Additional
yeah,
extra.
Yeah, extra. Like 20 million more, which is a lot. And just to put it in perspective, they currently have sold 14 million. So they're trying to more than double the amount of Switches that are out in the marketplace next year. And I hope that they can accomplish this. I really do, because I love the Switch. But I'm worried that they won't be able to.
No, that's ambitious as hell, man.
Yeah, that's very ambitious, and I'm worried that all the people who want a Switch already have a Switch. You know what I mean?
I know I do.
Yeah, I have one. You have one. Like,
that's
I'm
everybody.
Trying to think. Well, I mean, the only person I could think of, like, of my friends that could possibly want a Switch would be like my brother. That's it. Because, like, I brought my Switch over there, like, last week, and he, like, fucking loved it. Like, he was just, like, so into it.
Oh,
you
it was
know?
A big
Just,
hit
like,
at Christmas. I set it up for my adult family, and they're like, oh my god, look at all these awesome things that I haven't done forever. I was like, yeah, go nuts, dude, here. Fall into those pits and die. But, you know, we're having a good time.
Oh, Mario then. Got it.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought. But Nintendo Switches. Now, there are some good things about the Switch. I was reading some other news later, and I didn't want to, like, have a separate thing for each of these. So, not only is the Nintendo Switch now currently sold more units than the Wii U ever sold. So in, like, what, the year that the Switch has been out, it's sold more than the Wii U ever did in, like, 5 to 6 years it was out.
As much as I actually did like the Wii U, I mean...
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. I will always have a soft spot in my heart for the Wii U. I really liked the Wii U, and I feel like no one ever gave it a shot, and I think that that's shitty. But the Switch is better.
Yeah, the Switch is better.
The Switch is way better. I love the Switch. And I'm not surprised by that number. But also, the Nintendo Switch is the fastest selling console of all time in the United States, which is also really, really fucking good.
Yeah.
Which means, it doesn't mean that it's sold the most out of all consoles ever. That's not what that means. It means at this point in its lifetime, compared to other consoles at their points in their lifetime,
I'd be curious to see where it falls on the list currently. Sales, you know?
I'm not sure. I mean, obviously we know it beats the Wii U.
Right, but I mean,
we
like,
got that one.
Well, because the PS2 was the, you know, top dog for a long time, but it got dethroned by the Wii. And obviously it hasn't sold more than the Wii. And probably not more than the PS2, but I'm just kind of wondering, you know, where it falls on the list and what the trajectory is looking like.
I'm not sure. I could look it up, but I'm lazy.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Just kind of wondering.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about that too. I'm really curious if this one's actually going to be able to dethrone the Wii, because the Wii, I remember back in, like, what was it, 2007 or whatever, that shit was fucking, like, everyone needed a Wii.
I think that's the key difference. Like, Christmas time in the Wii era, there were lines outside of just moms and dads lining up to get their shitheads kids Wiis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was the case for the Switch, or if it was, I didn't notice. I think people wanted it for sure, but I think maybe like after the initial couple of days, you know, I don't think anybody was lining up to get it anymore. I think it was just, you know, I want one, so I'll pick it up, but there wasn't a shortage. That might just have applied to my area. I don't actually know what that was like other places, but I'm pretty sure that was what it was like.
I mean, I know that Nintendo's always had a hard time having enough units in the United States.
Yeah, that usually only applies to like the non-game things, though.
I don't know. Like
they can definitely produce enough shit to meet demand.
Yeah, well,
it's
I mean,
just
like
Amiibos, they don't because they have the idea
that
of
was
a toy
part
maker.
Of the. That was part of the problem with the Wii U, is they expected the Wii U to sell, like, a shit ton, and it didn't at all. And, like, no one bought the shit in the United States. They had, like, this, like, plethora of it. Because
what do you think they do with all of those?
I don't know. That's a great question. And, like, with the Wii, in comparison, the Wii, like you were saying, like, that shit was selling out everywhere. Like, they were constantly needed to get more. And as soon as they got more, it would sell out in, like, 2 days. Like, it was crazy how incredibly popular the Wii was at the time. And they expected something like that with the Wii U, and that's not at all what happened in any sense of the word.
No.
And so I'm scared that this is going to be like a repeat of that, like this.
Well,
like
I mean, it already can't
sell...
because it's already
really popular. Yeah, but I mean, like, I mean, not an exact repeat of that, but I'm scared it's going to be a similar situation where like they're like, oh man, everyone loves the Switch, and so they make, you know, 20 million more, they ship it off to the United States, but no one buys it because everyone who wanted one already had one. So it's
at that point, you know, it sucks to be GameStop, not Nintendo,
I mean, I guess, but it sucks for them too because like they made all this, they spent all this money making all these Switches that are just sitting somewhere. And they just wasted their money, like, in theory. I'm not saying this has happened because it hasn't, but I'm worried that it might happen is what I'm saying here.
Right.
So far, the Switch has been a huge success and a huge moneymaker for them, and I couldn't be happier for them. I just don't want them to get too confident, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, okay, you're doing
That's
really
great,
good
kid. Don't
so
get cocky.
Far. Yeah. Exactly. To make the Star Wars right. Yeah, that's great, kid. Don't get cocky. Okay, and that is it. That is all the news we had for the day. So we are now going to move on to my humble opinion. And you already know what mine's going to be because I said it earlier. Do you want to go first? Do you have one? I don't
I
know.
don't have one.
Oh, well, great. I'm going to do mine then. I could do two if I wanted to, but I'm not going to do that. Well, maybe. I'll decide.
Yeah.
So, in my humble opinion, Hulu's The Runaways is pretty damn good. So, the thing that's really interesting about the show to me is that when I go into a superhero show, most of the time what I care about is the superhero stuff. I want to, powers and action and, then all of that jazz. But this show is really weird in that I actually like the superhero aspects of the show are actually the part I care the least about with the show. This show, all of the characters in it are so fucking great. I care more about the relationship drama in this series than I care about like who has what powers or whatever. Like I just don't which is mind-blowing to me. I've never felt this way about a video about a show before. Like I am so invested in all of the characters and okay, so we've got what is it? Six main characters like of the kids, right? And like I gave you the pitch of the show before, a bunch of kids find out their parents are evil. So you've got six main kids. You've got I wish I remember their names better. You've got this black kid named Alex. I think yeah, that's right. He's probably my least favorite of all of them, which is a bit unfortunate because he's also the main character. He's not awful, don't get me wrong. Like it's not like a I don't know, like a Danny Rand situation. But he's probably my least favorite. He doesn't have any powers. He's the only one who has no powers or anything special about him. He's just this black kid who is there, and his dad is a part of this organization that's like super evil. And it's like, okay, but what do you contribute to the group other than just having your dad be evil? You know what I mean? And the answer is not much of anything, really. Like he's just kind of around most of the time. And then you've got, let me think, Gert. Gert is this like this. How do I describe this without while being nice? She's a feminist. She's one of those like social justice warrior type of people. And I'm not saying that as a, I'm not trying to be dismissive of that. I think that's perfectly fine. But that's like her thing. Like she's always talking about the patriarchy and shit like that. And she is like I don't want to say in love because these are a bunch of 17-year-olds, so I don't think any of them have any concept of what love actually is. But she has a crush on this other guy named Chase, who's like this like football, star guy, and she hates herself for, having a crush on this
Ah,
like douchey
the
asshole. But
hypocrisy of it all.
yeah, exactly. But she hates that, but she likes him anyway. And he, for the surprisingly, like when the series first started, he was my least favorite. I was just like, oh, great, it's the douchey football asshole guy. Like I've seen a thousand times before. But he's actually a lot more complicated than he appears to be at first. He's actually super smart. Like he doesn't have any superpowers, but he's like incredibly smart. Like on an engineering level, and he makes these things that he calls fistigons, which are like these gloves that can like shoot lightning bolts out of them,
Oh.
which is super fucking awesome. And like the first time he used him, I was just like, oh shit! Like I didn't know what he was doing for such a long time. He was like tinkering with these gloves, and I'm like, what are you doing, douchey McDouche pants? And then it's just like, oh shit, he's actually super smart.
Douchey
And
McDouche pants.
that's his name now. Shut up. So he makes these fistigons. So not only is he super smart, but like he's trying to be like the douchey asshole that he thinks he should be. Like he's trying to get into sports and he's good at sports, but it's like his heart's not in it. And he's like trying to have this relationship with this like cheerleader bitch person, but that's not working because she's an absolute bitch. And then like he has a crush on this other blonde girl that's one of the main characters. I'll talk about her in a second, but she rejects him. And then finally he comes to realize that he's like, man, like this Gert girl is like super cute and junk, and she's super nice, and she used to always give him a hard time. him, but because she was always encouraging him to be more like what he actually was, which is like smart, not just think with his fucking fists all the time, and not be this football star that he thinks he should be. And he's actually a surprisingly complex, interesting character, and I grew really attached to him. Oh, and he has this whole thing with his dad. His dad is like this like billionaire, like Steve Jobs type guy. And he's always wanted his dad's approval, and he always thought that the way to get that was to be this sports star, you know, like the way that everyone else, you know, gets their dads to love them or whatever and be proud of them. But his dad never gave a shit. You know, his dad always wanted him to be smart. And he was smart, but he wasn't good. He wasn't smart in the traditional school sense. Like, he didn't care about calculus. He didn't care about school. He wanted to just kind of be an engineer by himself and make his own little gadgets and shit. But his dad never knew that, because he was always ashamed of it, and he always thought his dad was gonna like make fun of him or wreck his shit, because his dad's an absolute douchebag, by the way.
Ah, okay.
His dad used to abuse him, like beat him up and stuff. So like, he's always been ashamed of being as smart as he is, because he thinks his dad's gonna like judge him for it. So anyway, he's a very interesting
shoot lightning gloves at him.
Yeah, well, actually, that kind of sort of happened. Well, not exactly. What ended up happening was actually one of the strongest emotional scenes of the show for me. Like, I was surprised that I actually teared up a little bit. Was so this kid Chase, he was tinkering with his Fistagon lightning gloves. This is before he was able to get them to work. Like, he was just kind of working on it, and then his dad caught him doing this, because he was working on it inside his dad's shop, which he wasn't supposed to be doing. And he's just like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. Like, I'll go. Like, you know, please, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal." And then his dad is just like, "What is that?" And he's like, "It's nothing. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. And then his dad's just like, "This is the work of a child." And the kid's just like, "I'm so sorry. Please don't break it. Okay, I worked really hard on that. Please." And then he's just like, "Explain it to me. Like tell me what your idea is. Like, help me see what you see." And then they have this whole conversation about the Fistagon gloves. And then his dad is helping him work on the Fistagons. And he's like this kid was trying to make it the best he could, but college trained engineer. Like, he doesn't know how to do a bunch of shit. He just has the ideas in his head, but doesn't know how to go about doing them. So his dad has like this 3D printer, and his dad is like helping him build different parts and like making the gloves work. And they're having all this bonding. And then like, his dad is just like, "If you were so smart all this time, like, why did you never tell me? Like, I never knew that you were this genius." And he's just like, "Oh, sorry. Tired." And he's just like, "Well, yeah, I was always ashamed of it. I thought you'd make fun of me. And like, I don't care about calculus and stuff like that. I care more about things in a practical sense, not a theoretical sense." And it's like this super great moment, and I loved it. And I loved his like daddy issues. It was like, it was so good and so well acted, and it was good.
Isn't anyway. His dad like a villain?
Yes.
So why would you want him to have a bonding moment with
Because him, because he wanted it, okay?
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's a complicated situation. Yes, his dad is a villain, but you know what? No. I'll talk about the parents in a second. I'm talking about the kids right now, otherwise I'm going to get distracted. I'm talking about the kids. Just give me a minute. So, remember that blonde girl that I told you that Chase had a crush on earlier, right?
Yep.
Turns out she Oh god, what's her name? Carolina is her name. Carolina. And she is this like religious girl. Like, she's like this goody two shoes. Like, you know, her mom is like the leader of this church, and she's like super perfect, and everything has to be perfect, and she never misbehaves.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But she's also lesbian, and she's been trying to like control that for her entire life, and she's been trying so hard to like bury those feelings away. But then she finds out that her mom is completely fucking evil and has been murdering kids for the past 15 years.
And then she thought, "Ah, fuck it."
And then also she finds out that, like, she has like this like religious bracelet that her mom always told her to never take off, 'cause it's like a symbol of their faith or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then she takes it off at one point, and she starts glowing, like literally glowing, like she, it's like a rainbow coming out of her skin. And she's like, what the fuck? So it turns out that we don't know exactly what she is, but her father, or the person she thought was her father, isn't her father. And her real father is, like, some sort of glowy space alien or something. We don't know what he is exactly, but we know that she is not completely human. And she has these
weird
glowing...
Well, that's good, because if they ever need to hold an Infinity Stone...
Yeah. But yeah, she has these weird glowing powers that like allows her to fly, and it allows her to like shoot light out of her hands, and like that like can hurt people and junk. And it's super interesting. And we don't know much about what those powers are, how they work, or like where they come from. Like I'm thinking she's an alien or like part alien, but I don't know for sure. And also she's like very lesbian. And she falls in love with this one character named Nico, who is this Asian girl. And Nico and Alex, who was the first guy I talked about, the black kid, they kind of had a thing going on for a while because Alex has always had a crush on Nico.
This sounds really complicated.
Alex has always had a crush on Nico, and Nico has kind of sort of had a crush on Alex, and there was a while there where they were where they were a thing. But then Alex Nico found out that Alex had been lying to her for the past like 2 years, because Nico's sister, whose name I can't remember, had supposedly committed suicide, but it turns out she didn't commit suicide. She'd actually found out about her parents being evil, and then the glowing light parent killed her and made it look like a suicide. And the other parents didn't have any idea that that's what had happened. Anyway.
Of course.
So, but Alex knew about that, or at least knew some of that. Like, he knew that there was something more to What's-Her-Face's suicide than what appeared to be. But he didn't tell anyone, and not even her own sister. And so Nico was super pissed about that and was just like, how could you lie to me for 2 years? Like, you know, like, this is ridiculous. You're an asshole. I hate you. And so then they, like, break up. And then Carolina comes in, and, like, right in, like, the second-to-last episode of the show, she kisses Nico, and she's just like, I've always wanted to do that. I'm sorry. And Nico didn't know how to respond. And then in the next episode, in the season finale, Carolina gets kidnapped, and she's being held in, like, this religious facility by her crazy-ass mother and her crazy-ass father with light powers and her crazy-ass stepdad, who's weirdly loyal to her real dad. I still am confused by that. Like, whatever. I'll talk about that later. I'm not talking about the parents yet. And then Nico is just like, we have to go get back and get Carolina. And the other kids are just like, no, we can't go back. We have to get the fuck out of here. Like our parents know that we have to leave. And Nico's just like, not without Carolina. We need to go back for Carolina. And so then they all decide to do that. They break into the religious facility. They get Carolina. They escape with her, and it's all well and good. And they have their own truck now, and that's nice. Later, Nico is just like, yeah, I'm sorry, you know, we came back for you. And then Carolina is just like, yeah, but you came back for me, didn't you? And then Nico is just like, I don't know. And then they kiss again.
Erection.
but then they kiss again. But this time it's not just Carolina kissing Nico. It's Nico and Carolina kissing each other. And it was good and great. And I loved it. Oh, my God. I absolutely, like... I am so invested in these fucking characters and their goddamn fucking relationships. Okay. That I don't even care about anything else. It's crazy to me. I can't believe this shit. Okay.
Wow. Well, okay. I'm super glad that you're enjoying yourself, Adam.
And I'm almost done. And then there are the parents, who I said I was going to talk about earlier, and now I am. So the parents are actually super well-acted, well-realized, interesting individuals, where, like, you kind of get more information about why they're all evil or whatever, and it's more complicated than it first appears to be. Like, when the first kid was put inside the pod and, like, sucked away... they put a living being inside this pod thing, and then like it breaks down their atoms so it can feed the light guy. That's like basically the way it works, is the light guy needs sacrifices in order to keep living, and so that's what they're doing. They're sacrificing a person to put inside the pod so that it'll go inside the other pod that the light guy's in.
Ah.
To keep him alive. Yeah. Anyway, I lost my train of thought again. But the first time that happened, like 15 years ago, most of the parents, like with the only exception of like two of them, didn't know what the hell was going on. And then they're just like, just trust us, put the kid in the pod. And then they put the kid in the pod, and then the kid dies, and like it's sucked away. And then all the parents are just like, what the fuck just happened? Did we just murder that kid? And it's just like, yeah, you did. Oh, by the way, there's a camera over there, and we already have the footage of all of you murdering this kid sent away to this private server. And so you have to keep doing this every single year.
All right, hang on a minute. I see an immediate issue with this. First of all, yeah. If they put the kid in there and they all freaked out afterwards, there's footage of them freaking out.
Yeah,
second of
that's
all,
true.
Putting them in the pod and having the kid disappear does not mean they murdered the kid. It could be a magic trick.
Yeah,
so doesn't prove anything.
They did say that. It was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah, I think one of them said, like, was this a magic trick? What the hell? And then they're just like, no, he just died. His life was sacrificed in order to
serve
a greater
need. Okay,
but
what I'm saying is that the video is totally useless as evidence because you can't say these people murdered anybody.
Well, no, you can because it's these parents who put the kid in the pod.
Yes,
and
but who's to say if you took that video to court and they said
minimum,
they put them in a magical pod that transported his atoms to a light space demon, they'd be like, oh,
okay.
Checks out. Like
there was something else to this that I haven't gotten around to saying yet. But not only did they say, yes, we have this video of you doing this and we can blackmail you, but also, like, there needs to be a kid going into this fucking pod every single year, right? Right? And if you pull any shit and you try to get, like, weasel out of it, we're gonna put your kid in the pod.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah. So then they're just like, ah, shit. So it's like, for most of the parents, they're doing this every year in order to protect themselves and their kids. And I understand that, and it sucks, but at the same time, they've literally been murdering someone for 15, you know, one person a year for 15 fucking years.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, no one ever tried to pull anything. No one ever tried to figure out a way to get out of it. And so I don't, like, the parents are very clearly doing something awful and evil. It's understandable, but it's still an awful and evil thing that they are doing. Yeah. But all of the parents are super interesting characters as well. I'm not going to go into all of the details like I did with the kids because it would just take too damn long. But the short version is that they're all great. There's the black family, and the dad used to be like a criminal, but now he's not, and he's trying to get away from that life, but he keeps getting pulled back into it because his old friend is trying to get him back into it. There's the hippie family, who are probably my favorite parents, who are like, they're like these two scientists who made a fucking dinosaur in their basement. Oh yeah, I haven't talked about the fucking dinosaur. Remember Gert, the like
yes.
social justice warrior person? Yeah. Her parents made a dinosaur, and the dinosaur only listens to Gert. Like, that no one else, like, you know, anyone else tells the dinosaur to do anything and the dinosaur just ignores it, but it listens to Gert. And it's not a dinosaur design, it's not huge or anything, but it's like a velociraptor, and it's fucking great and adorable, and it has a fucking nose ring. And I'm just like, oh my god, this stupid. Oh, and then she names the damn thing Old Lace, which I was like, what the fuck? Like, I guess the idea was that you're the arsenic, or you're the old lace to my arsenic, like that stupid-ass play, which, by the way, I'm familiar with because okay, well, it's a play. It's called Arsenic and Old Lace. It's this play that the reason I know it is because I was in the play when I was in high school. So,
oh, okay.
Like, it was really weird when they mentioned it in this show, because I was just like, hey, stop it. Like, I know that. You don't get to pull that. No.
Yeah. How dare you show user things from real life? Apparently real life.
Yeah. So they're the hippie parents who are like these fucking weirdos, and they make a dinosaur, and they're always talking about collecting mushrooms in a cave and doing all these other weird hippie parent things, and they're hilarious, and I feel bad for them. Like, they're the ones I feel the most bad for because they're very clearly not bad people, but they're put in the situation where they don't know what else to do other than to just continue murdering fucking kids, and like, I feel bad for them, but at the same time, they never come up with a solution. They just keep doing it for 15 years, and it's just like,
Is this the only pod?
There's two pods. There's two pods. It was built by Chase's dad, the asshole Steve Jobs guy.
Right, but one just teleports to the other, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so all those parents get together with 2x4s and cricket hammers and just smash the shit out of the pod, then everything's fine, right?
Not exactly, because there's still the blackmail thing, and there's still the fact that they can build another pod.
All right.
Because the one guy, the evil Steve Jobs, could build another pod. Steve Jobs. He's the one who built the first two, so he could build more in theory.
All right, throw him in the pod. Boom, problem solved.
There's actually that kind of sort of happens. So his wife was having an affair with one of the other parents.
Oh, can't have that.
Yeah. And so then he went all crazy and was like, ah, rah, rah, rah. And then he had a heart attack or some nonsense. He also has a brain tumor. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. He's in good shape.
Yeah, I think he had a brain tumor. I think that's what it was. He had a brain tumor, and the stress of finding out that his wife was having an affair like made him like faint or something. And then that's how everyone found out they had a brain tumor, because no one, he hadn't told anybody. And then the evil light guy was just like, okay, we need him alive. Like, he's the only one who knows how the pods work. We need the pods, so we need to figure out a way to keep him alive. And so they were like, oh, and he's like, oh, I know what we'll do. We'll put him in one pod, and then we'll have someone sacrifice themselves and you know, die so that he'll be restored or whatever, just like you guys do with me. And everyone's just like, oh, yeah, sure, that'll work, but who do we put in the pod? And then they're having this argument about who to put in the pod. They don't have time to find another kid to, like, do that with, because they just sacrificed a different kid. So it's like, well, we can't, you know, if we do this a bunch of times, you know, all very near each other, people will start to figure it out. So they can't just grab another kid. So then it's just like, okay, well, I know. We'll put his wife in the pod, because she's the one who had the affair. Oh God, it's so complicated. She's the one who had the affair, and then it's just like, no, I don't want to do that. And it's just like, okay, either you go in the pod or your son goes in the pod. So just fucking decide. And she's just like, okay, well, I have to go in the pod. And then the person she was having the affair with is just like, don't you want to say goodbye to your son? And she's just like, yeah, you're right. I have to go say goodbye to my son. So she walks away. And then the person she was having the affair with gets naked so he can go in the pod. And then his wife is just like, oh no, you don't, you stupid motherfucker. And so then she destroys the pod with her magic fucking staff. Oh yeah, there's a magic staff also that only responds to her blood.
What?
There's so much going on in this show. Oh my God, I'm doing right now is talk about the fucking characters. You know what? I don't want to do any more plot synopsises, because it's taken too damn long. So, short version. Parents, interesting characters, well acted, I love them all. Kids, interesting characters, well acted, I love them all. All the kids, parents, all of the interactions between the characters are very well written and interesting. However, the show itself, from like a plot perspective, is stupid. Because nothing is explained in this season. We don't know what the evil light guy's plan is. He apparently wants to dig down to this whole thing. He's trying to dig down to this whole thing to get something. And then like the hippie parents do like this like sonic survey of the area, and they find out that there's something down there that's alive, but they don't know what it is. I hope it's Godzilla. But there's something down there that's alive, and they don't know what it is. No one knows what it is. It's just this mysterious living thing under the ground, and no one has any idea what the fuck that means. And I don't know what it means. And at the end of the series, in the big climactic season finale or whatever, the parents find out that the kids know that they're evil, and the kids all, you know, showcase their powers. Or whatever, powers / fistigons / dinosaur. And then the parents are just like, oh, shit. And then they all run away. And then one of them gets kidnapped. And then the kids come and rescue her. And then they're all about to leave. They're about to go and get inside this and get in a train and get the fuck out of town. And then there's a little blurb on the TV that's like, oh no, all of these kids are wanted for the murder of the person that we murdered in the beginning of the show, like the person that the kids saw the parents murder. So now the parents have framed them for that murder, so they can get the kids to come home, and the kids are now on the run and wanted by the law, and that's the end of the fucking show. And I found out later that that's basically the plot of the fucking comic book. So this entire fucking show, the entire first season, was basically setting up. It was like the prologue of the comic book. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, they took such a long time setting up them running away and being wanted by the law. It took an entire season for them to set that up. Holy shit. It was a great season and I really liked it, but goddamn did the plot move slowly. Like, the kids find out that their parents are evil in the first episode, and then 10 episodes later, the parents finally find out that the kids know, and then they run away. That should have happened within like 4 episodes, but no. It's happened in 10 episodes throughout the entire fucking season. And goddamn, I'm so mad that I loved the show so much, and now I have to wait another goddamn year for the next season when nothing is resolved and everything is just like the show is just full of loose ends. There's just loose ends everywhere. It's a goddamn like a ball of string that like a dinosaur ripped in half, and it's just like, oh, look at all these loose strings everywhere. What the fuck are we gonna do? And I'm scared that they're not gonna be able to resolve everything correctly, and I hate it, but I also love it. I feel great.
Wow.
I'm feeling all right now.
Okay.
Okay.
You hanging
Okay.
in there?
I'm all right.
You want to move
Yeah.
on?
Yeah, I think we're gonna move
Okay. All right.
on. So, Runaways. It was good. I loved it. I also hated it. And that's about it for me. I'm good. I would give it an 8 out of 10. That's what I would give it. Mostly because of how unresolved everything was at the end there, because it was just so unfulfilling. We're moving on. We
Okay.
are now going to do random encounters. That is the part of the show where Steve and I pick two random characters to go up in a random encounter, and we decide who would win in that random encounter. So, I'm going to, I would pick Animaniacs, but I can't do that. Oh, I gotta do something with Runaways.
Why can't you pick the Animaniacs?
I don't, because I don't know what their powers are. I don't know enough
They're
about them. I don't
cartoons.
remember.
Their powers are being
Shut up!
cartoons.
No, I don't wanna. I'm gonna go with, let me think. What's the character from Runaways that I like? I'm gonna go with Chase with his Fistigons. Yeah,
Okay.
that's the one.
I don't know diddly about him,
That's
but
fine. I can fight for
all right,
him.
I got Nathan Drake.
Oh, actually, they look so similar. That's weird. Anyway, yep. Okay, Nathan Drake.
All right. More active sex life.
Okay. Oh. Okay. So Chase has tried to have a relation with the lesbian girl, but that didn't work. And
Probably because
then
he's a
he,
lesbian.
yeah, that would be the reason. And then he did have a relation with Gert, like that one girl I mentioned. They actually they were at this like school dance, and then they had sex at the school dance.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. I was like, what? Actually, as a quick thing, that whole sequence, I was just like, motherfuckers, did you use protection? You are 17 years old. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, wait till you're 18 when everyone knows that you become sterile.
No, I'm not saying I'm not being 18 wouldn't make it any better. I'm just like, no, you are fucking children, and I don't know if you use protection. You don't, and now you're about to run away from home, and you don't want to have a fucking child on top of that shit. You better be careful. Anyway.
Fair enough, Adam. Fair enough.
She seems like the type to be on birth control. Eh,
Okay.
maybe not. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Fuck it. I'm thinking too much about it. So he had sex with at least one person.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure that Nathan Drake has had, well, he's had at least one instance of confirmed sex because they have a daughter in the fourth game. But I'm
Actually,
pretty
but
sure that.
didn't he have sex with Chloe as
Yeah, I
well
was
in the
getting
second
there.
game? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I
So that's
and
two presumed sexual partners.
Yes,
Maybe
that's true.
more. He's a handsome guy. Who's to say?
Yeah, it's true. It's
So,
true.
in sheer volume,
And plus, there's the fact that Chase is 17 and Nathan is like 30 something, bordering on 50 if
Wow,
you
we
talk about
didn't
the
take
last
age
game.
into account. It's just scoreboard. So Nathan wins.
Damn. All right, fine. All right, fine. You win. Nathan wins because we have at least two confirmed partners. All right.
Swish.
Damn it. So I'm going to pick. I'm gonna pick Mario because we were talking about Nintendo and the Switch and Mario.
All right.
I've been playing a shit ton of Super Mario Odyssey, like so much of that game.
It's good stuff, man.
I beat it, and I'm going out and I'm getting all of the other stars and the rock things, and oh my God, it's taking forever.
All right, I got
Anyway,
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man versus Mario. Cool. Let's do it.
All right, and the challenge here is, oh, dance off.
Oh, okay. That's actually, Okay,
Well,
Mario
Mario
can
has been in a
dance.
game that involves dancing, so we know he
Yeah.
can dance.
Oh yeah, Mario can dance. Like that's confirmed. We know Mario can dance. I mean, he's also short and stubbly, so or not stubby, that's the word.
There you go.
So like I don't know how good of a dancer he really is, but you know, we know he can dance. He has danced many times before. Spider-Man, on the other hand, have we
I
ever
mean,
seen him dance?
there's
I mean,
probably
oh, well,
some
of
point
course.
at some issue where he's danced, but
Oh,
I
well,
feel
I
like
mean,
just he'd
Steve.
have the advantage dancing on account of all his Spider-Man flexibility.
Steve.
Yes,
We
Adam.
do know when Spider-Man danced in
Oh,
Spider-Man
no.
3. Yes!
No,
Yes!
doesn't count.
That was confirmed dancing by Spider-Man in a Spider-Man movie.
Damn it.
It happened.
Fine. Mario
Motherfucker.
wins. Mario wins.
Yes! Ah, that's the only time we've seen Spider-Man dance, and it was terrible. I won. Yes!
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
All right, fine.
I needed that. Okay. So, I need one more. I want to do another runaway, but I'm not going to do that because that feels unfair. Normally I would do Han Solo because we talked about Solo, but I've done that before. So I'm going to go with Lando Calrissian
All
because
right.
he's also confirmed for that movie. So
All right.
that's it.
Oh, I got wild cards, so let's see. I'm gonna pick the Animaniacs.
Ah, fuck you. All right, fine.
All right. So the challenge is most likely to join a Lantern Corps.
Who did I pick?
Lando
Lando?
Calrissian,
Oh,
the
God.
dirty traitor of Cloud City.
Yeah. He doesn't really believe in anything, so I don't really know if he'd be good.
Well, you don't
And you
have to.
got.
Well,
Yeah, you kind of do. A
Yeah.
little bit.
I don't
You.
know if he'd be in any core.
Yeah, I can't think of a core he could possibly be in.
I mean, we could
Maybe.
default and say Hope, I guess, because he's part of the resistance, kinda.
Well, okay. You could maybe say Will, you know, the Green Lantern Corps, because I mean, he did choose to go against the Empire and fight against Darth Vader and, you know, save everybody in Cloud City. Like he betrayed them, but then he changed his mind and he like, you know, won the victory
I
against the Empire in
guess.
that situation. And then he went undercover for an unknown amount of time in Jabba's palace so that they could rescue Han.
See, I
And
think whatever core he picks, or whatever one he gets picked for, I should say, is more likely than anything the Animaniacs could be picked for. Because the Animaniacs don't have personalities or belief systems or values that would allow them to be in any core of any kind.
Yeah, that's
They can't be in rage, they can't be in greed, they can't be in will, they can't be in hope, they can't be in fear, they can't be in compassion, they can't be in avarice, or
Yeah,
love.
no, that wouldn't work for any of them. So you're saying Lando Calrissian wins.
By default, because he's a person.
Okay, then that means I win, Steve. I win. Yay!
Yay!
Okay. So, those are the complaints this week. If you can't complain, share it with your friends. Bye.